Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to today's Blog Talk Radio. You're on.
Welcome to Bring Out the Best Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright, Professor of Transformational Leadership at the Wright Graduate University for the Realization of Human Potential. And today we are talking about how to unlock your superpower. The superpower is emotional intelligence. The Harvard Business Review says that in tough economic times, the soft stuff goes away. Turns out social-emotional intelligence isn't that soft, because the emotional intelligence article by Dan Goleman in 98 has been the most referenced article regardless of the economy that they have. What is this emotional intelligence? It's the capacity to recognize my emotions, to calm myself, soothe myself. They call it down-regulating. Or to be able to get myself up, so to speak, to become more alive, more engaged, more enthused. And the capacity to upregulate or downregulate is a key element of emotional intelligence. But first of all, it helps to really know what my emotions are, and that's our specialty in this area, is really helping people understand their emotions moment by moment, because our emotions can move us, emotion, e-movement, move us into greater pleasure and joy in life and away from problems and pain, if only we learn to really listen to them. I'm in a business meeting, and it feels like something's wrong in this meeting. I'm able to check in my gut and go, wow, is this something that I'm just afraid of, or is there a danger sign or something we need to deal with? Now, my social intelligence is my capacity to upregulate and downregulate others around me. So I use my emotional intelligence as a foundation to exercise my social intelligence and make a comment in that meeting. It also works with my kids. It also works with my spouse. It also works with my family. So social emotional intelligence is the key to human relations. It's very important to understand how to do that. And it requires that we be very, very aware of what's going on inside of us. I had an employee assistance management health firm, and one of our major national clients sent in a group called the Mercer. At that time, it was called the Mercer Meidinger Medical Audit. And there were a couple of auditors. They both had PhDs in psychology. They were on the president's panel for health. I was very intimidated. They used stopwatches to see how fast we picked up the phone. They looked at every 10th file that we had. They'd been there a day. They talked to us the second day about midday, my partner and me. They hadn't even talked to us prior to that. They started asking a bunch of questions, and I'm getting increasingly agitated, trying to downregulate, and more agitated, trying to downregulate. And more agitated, trying to downregulate. And finally, I said, with my voice a bit tense, a bit trembling, but in business acceptable language, if you want to know who we are, you haven't asked one valid question. Now, that stopped the meeting from happening. And they straightened up and they looked at me and they said, what should we ask? I said, you haven't asked why we have the lowest recidivism rate in the country and how that comes to be. They said, well, why do you have the lowest recidivism rate in the country and how does that come to be? I said, it's because every one of our staff is in at least 5, if not 7 hours a week of supervision and training, and we really stay on top of things. We use a non-pathological model to help people understand their problems, and we are very much educators. We don't approach it from pathology. Well, this group rated us tops in the country, and they began referring more and more people to us. So we're talking about you and your personal power with emotional intelligence, that superpower. We're talking about you and that superpower working for intimacy, for closeness, for warmth, for nourishment, for understanding, for partnership, for love. So let's get into it a little bit more. And we're going to have a couple of our listeners. Our first caller is Olga. She says, I'm afraid what I want is too much for me. How do I use that fear rather than get used by it? Great question. Talk to me, Olga.
Hello, Dr. Bob. It's so nice to hear you.
And you too.
I finished my bachelor's degree, and I was so excited, and I was ready to jump to the next step. And the fear of I'm not good enough, I'm not going to be able to do it, just constantly in my head. I made a decision that I want to be a life coach, and I want to be that, but I'm afraid, and I want to go to WGU because in the beginning, that's what my goal was. When I went to finish my bachelor's degree, that's what I had in mind. And now I'm afraid that it's going to be too much for me with three kids and the work and just, you know, winter coming in and all these things. And also one of my other reasons, English is not my first language. It's constantly in the back of my mind. Even though I finished my bachelor's degree successfully, I'm still afraid to go forward. And I'm afraid of failure, and I'm afraid of success. And main reason I'm afraid that it's going to be too much, and I'm not going to be able to handle it. And I'm going to put away, I'm not going to see my kids, and, you know, I'm going to be angry and frustrated. So I need some patience on that.
So all the fears are just coming up, and it's and your limiting belief that you're not enough or you're not good enough is coming up.
Yes, yes.
Well, this is how the game works. And the real challenge of emotional intelligence at a high level is to make fear your friend. Do you know how you do that?
How?
Well, you need to see fear for what it is. You need to know that the thoughts you're having are as much excuses driven by your fear as they are valid issues. And when you make your fear your friend, you begin to plan. If I'm having trouble with my English, what will I do? How will I plan with my family to make sure that we're tight? Because your youngest is how old?
11.
Well, so you're talking about some pretty independent kids by this age.
Yes.
So, but this is a legitimate family issue, is to discuss the challenge and discuss how you're going to do it. It's not going to be any more demanding, I assume, than what your bachelor's degree was, but it's a higher level. So when you go to a higher level, the fear kicks in, doesn't it?
Yes, of course.
And you're also talking about establishing yourself as a professional coach.
Yes.
So now in order to pay for the education, you have to establish coaching clients, and there's a whole other chance of failure.
Yes.
And that's where what we call loss aversion comes in, and the anticipated pain is greater than the anticipated gain. That's loss aversion. It's what happens. So you want to plan the gain. Oh, okay, I'm going to have to learn to sell, and I'm going to learn to bring in coaching. But you've got exactly the opposite problem, because you've got English is a challenge in school, but Russian is a benefit in coaching.
Yes.
And you can even, there are coaches that work globally. You can even enroll coachees over the phone in Russia.
Yes, and that's my goal, actually. That's what I want to do. I want to hit the Russian community and coach on Skype.
Well, so the planning is you face the fears and you plan for success. And you haven't planned for success yet.
Mm-hmm.
But your fear will stop you if you don't plan for success and make the commitment, because until we commit, we are always shy, and the fear dominates us, and it shuts us down. It's only with commitment that you'll have enough fear to force you to plan for success. And then you'll start learning what it is to make your fear your friend.
Okay, so make fear my friend.
But you don't let it shut you down. You master your fear, and you use it to give you information, and you use it to plan and look ahead. But without a commitment, the fear will dominate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay?
All right, Dr. Bob. All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
So, emotional intelligence. Olga's already emotionally intelligent. She knows to recognize the fear, and she's used it to get back and finish her bachelor's. And now what's up for her is using that fear to go forward in her life. So this emotional intelligence, statistics show that people are stronger at work. They're more effective. They make more money. Olga has an opportunity to enhance and improve her emotional intelligence. And we do our beginning training on emotional intelligence at the Foundations training. Get our book, Transformed, and get registered for the Foundations training. We just had a fantastic training last weekend, and we're going to have another one in November. And we would love to be able to support you in developing your social-emotional intelligence. Some people think that the Foundations training is the best training for social-emotional intelligence there is. We've had experts in the field come in and do the Foundations training and go, oh my gosh, there's so much more to learn. And they have done our year of transformation, and some of them have gone beyond that. So, keep your momentum up, whatever way you go about it. Let us be your partners in bringing out your best and re-energizing and energizing your life. Wherever you are in your life, whether it's home with the kids, whether it's at work balancing kids and work, whether it's facing a fear of school or getting the next promotion you want at work, whatever it is, let us be your partners in bringing out your best and energizing your life. Join me next week for our career show, How to Be More Productive at Work. And another way to think of it is how to make money having fun. So join me next week as we learn about making money having fun and being more productive at work. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright. And I thank you very much for committing to being your best self and partnering with us today. Goodbye.